Good morning, all of you watching on the internet right now. Good morning, Geneseo. God bless you guys. We love you all so much. We think about you. We love you. We're so proud of what God's doing in your lives. So thank you all today for being here. Last week, we started a new series called Agents of Change. And we started a series with the blood of Jesus, talking about the greatest change agent that we have is the blood of Jesus. How many of you, just because I'd like to know, how many of you were able to catch that? Even though you weren't here, you're able to catch it online. Anybody? Thank you so much for using the online ministry, even when we're not here. Snow can't keep us away from the Word of God, amen? That's awesome. And so the blood of Jesus is the beginning. And I'll talk a little bit more about change, but grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart. And my mind. It's God's word today. Amen. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. Real quick, for some of you who couldn't make it, because at this time last week, it was a massive blizzard going on, I want to just reconnect you to this whole process of change. You know, so many times in life, we can get to a place where we feel stuck. We can feel stuck in our Christianity. We can feel like maybe there's no change for me. Life's always going to be this way. My Christianity is always going to be this way. I'm always going to be bound to a certain attitude or a certain thought process or maybe emotional habits, or you're just kind of getting a circular way of thinking. But we believe the Bible is a gospel and a message of change and transformation. Can I hear an amen on that? That God can change absolutely anyone, including us that have been around for a long period of time. We know God can change the sinner because he changed us. But sometimes we need to get back into our culture, back into our minds, and no matter how long we've been in this, there's still more and greater and better, and we can continue to improve and we can continue to change. And so we preach a message of great change. The Bible teaches us one of the greatest change agents in the world is the blood of Jesus. I have not heard a message on the blood of Jesus in a long time, and if you didn't hear it last week, please go back to our internet and watch it, because it's a very significant message. The blood of Jesus is where it all begins. You know, church doesn't change us, worship doesn't change us, the Bible doesn't change us, good friends and good people don't change us. The blood of Jesus is what changes us. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, church would have no effect on our lives. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, the Bible couldn't have any effect on our lives, because we would still be lost in our sins. We would still be under our condemnation from the guilt and of breaking God's laws and God's commands. The blood of Jesus has to change us. That's where we begin. Are you understanding this? So good friends and good community and good small groups and all these wonderful things that are also a part of great change, they do change us. I mean, don't get me wrong. They will change you after the blood of Jesus forgives you and washes you. But we must have the blood of Jesus placed upon our lives to make us as white as snow and give us a new beginning. We need to be people that are always grateful for the blood of Jesus. And may we always have that mentality that because of the blood, that's why all this other stuff can work. Are you understanding? Because what happens is if you don't get the blood of Jesus somehow connected to your life, and I know for some of you, the word blood and all this stuff might be confusing, and if you were here last week or could have watched it online, it would have helped you, it really would. I'm giving you responsibility now. But I'm telling you, I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus, and I'm not ashamed of talking about it. And if you don't understand it, then let's get some understanding about it. It's not something you push to the side. It's something you need to be informed on. The blood of Jesus speaks of the grace of God, because you see, we didn't earn that sacrifice. It wasn't because we were good enough that Jesus shed his blood for us. It was because he wanted to save us. And then now all this other stuff can matter in our lives, but it all starts with the blood of Jesus. But today I want to talk to you about change. Now we've talked about the blood a bit. I want to talk to you about change with the Word of God. The Bible, the Word of God, can change our lives. The Word of God needs to get into our hearts, and as it gets into our hearts, our minds, it will begin to change the outflow, will begin to change the fruit of our lives. If you want your life to change, your mind needs to change. Because your mind and your thoughts, your life goes in the direction of your dominant thoughts. It's just the way things work. And right here in Romans chapter 12, very clearly, the Bible says, do not be conformed, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Very clearly in this passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us we have the capacity to change. And that's where I want you to see today. I want you to be excited because the devil so many times gets us discouraged. Like we're always going to be the same. I thank God that in our DNA and who God's made us and how He's created us, we have the capacity to change. You know, even when we were kids, the way God made us, our minds were formative and they are always able to be formed. And so if you feel stuck or if you feel stagnant or you feel hopeless or helpless, the Bible tells us here that we can change the outcomes of our lives. We can change the future of what we see by letting our minds be changed and transformed. Some of us want different fruit on the outside, but we don't want to change our thinking on the inside. And it's important that we understand that our fruit on the outside is linked to what's going on the inside. And we have the capacity to change what's going on in the mind. I never want you to believe the lie of the devil that says you have to be stuck in the situation that you're in. God, through His Word, tells us we can change. Like I said, as a child, we have the ability to learn new things. We always, as long as we're alive, have the ability to learn new things. We're the ones that cut ourselves off and say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's a lie. You can. I've seen old men learn how to do things like scale mountains and surf and all kinds of stuff. We can learn new things. Can I get an amen on that? We can change, but we have to know how to change and what to do to change. Not just hope for change, not just wish for change, but the Bible says we can be transformed by the renewing, be changed by the renewing of our mind. Now, how many of you have ever experienced someone helping you change your mind? Only about 4 or 5 of you? Every married man should raise their hand right now. I have had my mind changed multiple times. I put my foot down. She's like, what for? I mean, I remember this last week, I'm walking out of the house. Is that what you're wearing? No, honey. This is my pregame warm-up outfit. I wouldn't be God wearing this outside. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I know I was going to the garage with my keys in my hand. That meant nothing. That's not where I'm not going out like this. I was just going to go see the car. I wanted to say hi to the car before I went and changed into something much better. We have the capacity to change, and it's important that you believe that. Let me give you some scripture, biblical scripture, that helps you see the process that God's given us. You have the ability to change your mind. You have the ability to change your direction. You must come into agreement with the Bible that you can change what's going on inside your head. Whether it's depression, whether it's anger, whether it's rage, whether it's sin patterns, whether it's negativity, whether it's offense, you have the capacity to change what's going on inside your head. And that will totally transform our lives. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7 says it like this. Just talking about the capacity we have to make a change the way we think. Let this mind be in you. Now that's a decision you have to make. This is the Apostle Paul saying you need to take responsibility about what's going on in your head. You can choose to have this mindset inside of you. That's what he's saying. Which was also in Christ Jesus. So I can begin to make my thoughts line up with and think like Jesus' thoughts. Are you following me? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. Basically, Paul was talking in the area of servanthood, because this is not necessarily human nature. Being a servant, bowing your knee to somebody else to make their life better rather than your life. See, Jesus was in the form of God. Jesus is God. He laid aside his authority, and he laid aside his name and titles, and he came and made himself of no reputation. And he was saying, that's the way Christianity should work, where the world wants to lord its authority and lord its dominion and brag on itself and make everyone see how great they are. Jesus affected this world and affected us by helping us achieve and helping us become. And let that mind be in us, O Christians. But you see, it wasn't a natural idea. It wasn't something that we just do by ourselves. Paul said, you have to let this mindset be your mindset. But we have the capacity to do that. Which means if you found yourself being selfish, if you find yourself being egotistical, if you find yourself not being helpful, you can change by just letting the mind of Christ start taking over and taking root in your mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we can have, or we do have, the mind of Christ. You know, we have the capacity. We have on the inside of us the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God that we can learn, the mind of God. But on the inside of you, the mind of God is available. I want you to see that. It's not just your thoughts that are available to you. It's not just your way you were raised or your habits or the traditions of your family. You have the capacity and you have the ability on the inside of you to lay hold of the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2 says it this way. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Like you would set a watch or you would set an alarm. Set your mind. This is responsibility. It's responsibility on our part. But remember, if you want your life to change, you're going to have to change the way you think. If you want your relationships to get better because things are fractured, you need to change the way you're thinking about those relationships and how you respond to what's going on around you. If you want to change your finances, if you want to change the gloom and doom lifestyle you live, you are going to have to start taking control and taking authority over what's going on in your mind, in your head. Are you understanding this? Set your mind. That's our responsibility. See, this is something God can't just do it for you. Don't you wish you could do that? Just, God, fix my head, Lord Jesus. And God, what he does is give you everything you need for life and godliness. He gives you the truth to pull out the lie and replace it with truth. But you still have to participate. Thank you very much for that, Pastor Kevin. I have responsibility. I have authority. I have something I have to do. Yep, you do. Isn't someone going to do it for me? No! You have to do it. You have to say, I'm done with that output in my life, I'm done with the fruit of what I've been getting up to this point. I'm going to make some changes. And you can. You can. You can make some changes by changing the way you think. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is of good report, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Again, you have a choice. There's negativity coming. Don't you think that verse knows there's negativity coming? But you have a choice whether or not to focus on lies and fear or whether to focus on things of good report, of what God said, on the truth of a situation, of something excellent. Every season of your life, God is still doing something excellent. But will I set my mind on what God is doing or will I set my mind on all the things that aren't happening? That's your choice. God is always moving. Can I get an amen? Amen? God is always faithful. God is always in the process of miracles and breakthrough and turning things around. And I have the decision to make whether or not I'm going to set my mind on what God is doing or will I focus on what the devil is doing or all the other things that aren't coming to pass. I can choose to set my mind. And that's what I want you to see today. Agents of change. If you want to change, you got to choose to change. And one of the ways to choose to change is to start taking captive your thoughts and start making a demand on the direction of your brain. Stop letting your brain run wild and you bring it under control. Okay? Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And I want to read to you a passage of Scripture in chapter 55. Famous passage of Scripture. But I want you to see it maybe with a different light. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Are you there? All right. It's a lot of scripture, which is I'm excited about reading to you. So be excited about hearing it. I never apologize for giving you a lot of scripture. It's like an Italian apologizing for too much food on the table. It's not going to happen, people. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. Listen to this. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. We must forsake our old way of thinking, our old carnal, unproductive ways of thinking. Carnally minded thoughts lead to death, emptiness, lack of life, lack of fruitfulness, lack of results. We must not just pick up the mind of God, but also get rid of the old man's mind. Amen. See, let the wicked, the unrighteous, forsake his thoughts. Not just try to add God's thoughts and keep my old negative thoughts. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. There's no mixture here. Are you understanding this? We have to come into agreement that God's word is truth, what God said is truth, and it's not trying to add truth and keep hold of a lie. It's I choose to forsake the lies of fear, anxiety, depression, greed, selfishness, I choose to forsake those thoughts, and I choose to embrace God's thoughts. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. The Lord will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, verse 8, for my thoughts, God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, growing up, I was always taught that verse was kind of the great sweep it under the rug verse, where if something bad happened in my life, it's, well, you know, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, so don't ask him any questions. God's ways are not your ways. Even though you have questions, God's not going to answer them because he just thinks so big. That's not what this verse is talking about. If you read it in context, here's what God's saying. Forsake your carnal thoughts. Forsake your unrighteous thoughts. Forsake your human perspective about what's going on. He says, I know what's going on. I have high thoughts. I see the whole picture. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And now you're about to see, he's going to say, if you come up to where I'm seeing and what I'm thinking, then you're going to have a fruitful life. He's not telling you, don't ask me any questions. He's telling you, think my thoughts. He's telling you, forsake your thoughts about how to deal with the situation. Forsake your thoughts about how to respond to the situation and receive my higher thoughts. See, naturally, my ways are better than your ways. In the natural, you're going to use the arm of the flesh, and then in my ways, I have a better way to get that thing done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible in too many other places says you have the mind of Christ. God is never trying to sweep your questions under the rug. The Bible's trying to tell you, come join my mind. The Bible tells us in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to you liberally. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice. Amen. The Word of God is clear that God wants you to know what's going on. And so this is not the great sweep it under the rug verse. This is just a continuation of a consistent biblical principle. My thoughts aren't your thoughts, but you can come and join my thoughts. Amen? All right. For as the rain and the snow come down, hallelujah, not today, Jesus. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making the earth bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, and I'll insert here, like your old fallen thoughts used to do. You see, when God's thoughts are implemented, when God's word is received in exchange for the way you would have done that thing, God's ways are life, which means they produce fruit. They produce harvest. If you will change your fallen way of operating, your fallen way of thinking and responding situation, and you'll join his thoughts produce. They are fruitful. They will multiply. They will bring increase, and they will bring life wherever they go. See, it's a compare and contrast to the fallen thoughts and then to God's thoughts, if you will take God's thoughts. For you will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's like pine trees are looking at you going, go you. You go. You did it God's way. You go. And it's the pine trees are like, woo, Jesus, look at them go. Pine trees are clapping their hands because you obeyed God's will and you did it God's way, and you're being celebrated because you're succeeding. Instead of thorn bushes, you see, that was your old thoughts. Instead of thorn bushes, you will have cypresses come up. Instead of nettle bushes, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which he will not be cut off. Now, all of this is because you exchanged your fallen thinking for God's thinking. Did you understand that whole passage of scripture in Isaiah? His thoughts aren't our thoughts naturally, but we can make them our thoughts. But it takes work. It takes us setting our minds. It takes us choosing to think on things that come from above rather than just responding from our own perspective from down here. We are transformed. We are changed by the renewing of our mind. The Word, let's talk about how it helps us, how it changes us. I don't just want to tell you, hey, read the Word and it's just going to make an effect. I like to know how things change us, how things make an impact in our life. Number one, the Word of God, like a mirror, reveals to us things. Reveals to us the truth. Reveals to us where our thinking, our attitudes, our responses are out of alignment. Number one, the Word of God reveals us to us. Does that make sense? It's like when you wake up in the morning and you see yourself and your hair's all out of place and you just look like a truck ran over your face and you're just all disheveled and you see yourself in the mirror and you know, okay, I know what I'm supposed to look like and I can begin to then make adjustments because I have seen where I'm out of alignment. Are you understanding? The Bible can tell us, hey, this is truth. This is how you're supposed to respond to your brother and to your sister. And your attitude is, I don't want to be that way. I want to hold on to a grudge. I want to be offended. But the Bible says, don't be offended. Forgive everyone like you've been forgiven. So now you have a choice. Will you align yourself to what the truth in that mirror is telling you is out of alignment? Or will you stay crooked? Or will you stay out of alignment? You choose to exchange your thought, your way of doing it, with God's way of doing it. If you will exchange your thought with His thought, your life will change, and so will that relationship you were going to hold offense to. Are you understanding? It's that simple. It's that easy. But when you look in the mirror, you know, we can fall into two extremes as God's Word, the mirror, begins to reveal places where our thinking, our attitudes, our actions are out of alignment. We can either, now, this is not a chauvinistic statement, which makes everyone suspicious about what I'm about to say right now. Everyone's leaning in. What's he going to say? All the ladies are like, what's he going to say? That was a chauvinistic statement, I guess. Anyways. Some ladies look at themselves in the mirror in a certain way that I'm about to say. I'm not putting everyone in the same category. But we can fall into the same negative process with the Bible as the Word of God, as the mirror, as some ways some ladies think and some ways that some men sometimes think. There are times when a lady will see herself in the mirror and she will become so critical about how she looks. And she'll sit there and all she sees is what's wrong with her, and she begins to judge herself too harshly. She's looking at every little thing. Look at this. I got crow's feet on my eyes. Did you see these crow's feet on my eyes? No, I never saw them. But now that's all I can see are the crow's feet on your eyes. Do I look fat to you? Did you see this? Did you see that? And there's all this super criticism and critical spirit about themselves that they're never going to be what they hope to be. And some people can approach the Bible that way. When they read the Word, it's like, I'm never going to be holy enough. I'm never going to be spiritual enough. Oh, I got to fix that about myself. Oh, I have to fix that about myself. The Word of God isn't revealing things to you to bring you under condemnation. It's revealing things to you to give you a hope and a future. Amen. And that's what I was trying to say is we can approach the Bible like that, where we're like analyzing and being so critical over every single thing about ourselves and get into a place of hopelessness. Do not read the Bible that way. Read the Bible that if it's revealing it to us, it's because God has a solution for us. And then the same thing with men. We can be another extreme, and that is we've got all this going on. Our belly's out to here. Our hair's all like this, and we're all out of alignment, and we're like, well, that's good enough. We're the exact opposite. That'll do, donkey. That'll do. Yeah, I know. I got my all hanging out everywhere, and I'm just all like messed up. I haven't shaved in years, and I smell. And we're like, oh, you know, it's good enough. It'll get me by. And we can do the same thing, where the Bible's telling us, hey, forgive. Hey, check your attitude. Hey, get into alignment. Hey, fix some stuff. And it's not like, well, you know, grace and, you know, mercy. This is good enough. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's two extremes. The Bible's revealing it to us because there's a better future for your life. There's a better outcome. There's a better harvest for your life if you'll change and make some transitions and exchange some of those thoughts with His thoughts. Can I get an amen on that? And so we don't want either of those extremes where we're overcritical or we're too loose on ourselves. The Bible is saying, hey, change your thoughts. You're going to change your life. Change your ways and you're going to change your life. And that's what it's about. Change your life. Now, when I talk about the Bible reveals things to you, it's not limited to just your actions, attitudes, and just things of that nature. One of the cool revelations of the Bible in helping us renew our thinking is not just our actions, but also our identity. The Bible also tells us who we are that we didn't know we were. See, you think you're just this barely loved by God, kind of servant of God in the house of God somewhere, but the Bible tells you you are a son, you are a daughter of God. Amen? The Bible tells you you are a kingdom of kings and priests. Amen? See, the Bible also reveals to you who you are. Where the devil tells you you're insignificant in the world, the devil tells you you're small, and the Bible says you are the salt and the hope of this earth. You are a light on the hill. You are God's solutions to this world's problems. Amen? You are the head and not the tail. You will be above only and not be beneath. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. Amen? You are here to rule and reign with Christ. Amen? Amen. You are the apple of God's eye. I can go on and on and on. In our world, we have been told all the things we're not. I want you to understand something about the Bible. The Bible isn't the big book of what you're not. The Bible is written by the great I Am, and the author is trying to help you figure out who you are, not who you're not. Does that make sense? You've been living what you're not. Now it's time to learn who you are and to renew your mind to who you are and live who you are. See, we live bigger when we figure out, when God reveals to us and we renew our thinking. That's also how we overcome sin so many times, is we begin to outgrow those things. That's not who I am. Amen. That lifestyle, that pattern, that sinful behavior, those attitudes, they are not becomely to a prince of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But it's about renewing your mind. See, the Bible is here helping reveal to you you. It's not just about behavior and attitude and, you know, change what you're doing with your works. It's change who you think about yourself. Right. And then someone else can try to make you feel small, but you know who you are. It's been revealed to who you are. See, in the Old Testament, prophets who carried the word of God in their mouth, many times they would step into somebody's situation and they would say, like King David, David was a shepherd boy, but the word of God came to David and said, you will be the next king of Israel. Revealed something to David. He had no idea who he was until the word of God told him and identified him who he was. And now all of a sudden he started not just thinking like a shepherd boy, but thinking like a ruler and knowing where his destiny was headed. See, the word of God will also help you with your identity. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. You just thought you were this, but you begin reading the Bible and you see God's mind towards you and who he sees you to be. And you don't live small anymore. You start living big. All right. So the word of God reveals. That's one way the Bible helps us. The second way the Bible helps us is it renews. Remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renew there in Romans in the Greek is the same word as renovate. Renovates you. The word of God, have anyone ever done renovations in your house before? Renovations, and this is what I want you to see about this whole process, because sometimes a sermon like this will come by and people will just read their Bible a couple times, get into a few Bible studies, read Psalms, Proverbs, something like that, and they're like, oh, I'm not really changing. They said if I just read my Bible, I would change. But I want you to see the effort involved in that verse in Romans 12:2. It says the word of God will renew, transform, will renovate you. Renovation involves tearing out old stuff and replacing it with the new stuff. Renovations take time. I don't know if you've ever remodeled your house, but it always takes longer than you thought. Just the way it is. And it's a mess sometimes, and it's inconvenient sometimes, but it takes effort as well. It takes getting in there, and sometimes when you're renovating, you're pulling out one thing, and then you realize something else. In our kitchen, we renovated our kitchen a few years ago. They were pulling out the kitchen, and they realized there was a massive beehive behind the cabinets. So sometimes, in the process of renovation, you find there was more mess than you thought there was. And it's not to discourage you. It's to continue to renovate and renovate and renovate, because it will accomplish that which it set out to do. But it may take time. Don't give up. Don't quit. Let the renovation continue. Amen. But don't get discouraged after a week or two of just reading your Bible. Are you understanding? Renovation takes work. Renovation takes exchange. Take the old out and put the new in. Take the old out, put the new in. You know, there's things like this illustration that I have here this morning. This is God's mind. I want you to see this. The Bible is the mind of God. This is God's mind. And our responsibility here, in order to change, is to take God's mind and to put it in our mind. To replace our mind with His mind. Let this mind be in... What, four of you? Just four of you? I just read that verse to you like 10 minutes ago. Let's try this again. Let this mind be in... Yay! Look, I'm a pine tree. Clapping my hands. I'm a pine tree. Way to go, you. Way to go, you. Let this mind be in
you.
But whose responsibility is that?
Ours.
I have to let this mind, let this thinking get into me. Does that make sense? Things like faith. Because naturally, I see the fearful parts of life. I see the hopelessness. I gravitate towards what if it doesn't happen. I gravitate towards fear. That's just the way we're built because we're in a fallen, lower, carnal, fleshly way of thinking. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's our natural way of thinking. In a fallen state, that's our natural response, fear. But I need and I can renovate and I can take captive my thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. And I can take God's thoughts and I can begin to place them in my mind so that His thoughts are now my thoughts. But it's a choice. When fear comes back, I lay hold of God's thoughts and I begin to declare, I begin to speak, I begin to own and say, these are now my thoughts. I know that was my old way of thinking, but I choose now to think this way. It's my responsibility. Amen. Same thing with healing. The natural way of thinking, doctor says it's hopeless, then it's hopeless. The doctor says this is chronic, it's going to be this way forever. And yet God has a way of making a way in the desert. He knows how to bring water out of a rock. He knows how to part a Red Sea. He knows how to heal the leper and give him all the pieces back that he's missing. God knows how to heal us. He purchased our healing. He paid for our healing. I don't necessarily understand how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. It could be a progressive healing. Could be an instantaneous healing. But I can begin to exchange my thoughts about sickness. And again, I love that I have to rip this off because sometimes we have to rip these thoughts out of our thinking. Thinking death thoughts, thinking sickness thoughts, thinking just accepting it like this is the way things are going to be. And I begin to lay hold and let this mind. See, God isn't going to make this mind. I have to let this mind be in you. Good, you're so much. Pine tree. Pine tree moment. Another one. Forgive. Forgive, because this is not natural to the fallen mind. We've been forgiven much, amen? We didn't deserve the forgiveness we had. But you want to change your life? Learn how to forgive and let it go. Amen. You want to change your relationships? Learn how to forgive and let it go. Offended, that's natural for me. And it's not just because I'm Italian. I mean, natural for an Italian is take the offense to the grave, baby. It's just the way it is. Our goal in life is to outlive the one that made us mad. That's right, and then we can die, spit on their grave, and die in peace. That's just the way it works. That's the natural mind. But I can lay hold of, I can change. I can change my whole family's culture. Are you understanding? Rather than teaching my kid offense, where I'm mad at everybody all the time, where I'm so easily offended all the time, because you will send that curse into 2 and 3 generations of your family, because you're teaching them, you're continuing to perpetuate the carnal way of thinking. But we can have the mind of God, and we can replace our carnal mind. It's going to take renovation, it's going to take work, but it can happen, and it will happen, and you will begin to see change in your life. Amen. Others, selfishness. We are naturally selfish people. I mean, you don't have to teach a kid selfishness. Have you ever had kids? Anybody? Have you ever been one? Anybody? Yeah. Selfishness. One of the greatest words of any child is the word mine. Have you ever seen Finding Nemo where it's like, mine, mine, mine? It's these little crabs. Sometimes that's like it is at home. Mine, mine, mine. My chair, I called it. My seat, my blanket, my milk, my TV, mine, mine, mine. And our job as parents is, yes, to teach them to share. But not just that. God can teach us to be others focused. That's the fruitful life. You know, a small life, I used to have a mentor that would say, a man wrapped up in himself is a very small package. A small life is a selfish life. If you want fruitful living, if you want purposeful living, if you want to feel like your life has made a difference, then you're not going to be able to do selfish thinking. You're going to give your time. You're going to give your resource. You're going to give your talents to make other people's lives better. Your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your church, your community. And that's when you live. That's when you're not bringing forth thorn bushes in your life, but you're bringing forth generations of fruitful living because you've learned how to live to help others and not just yourself. Amen? Last one. Eternal. Naturally for us, we just think about the now. If it feels good, do it. I just want happiness for me now. I'll spend it on me now. I just want to die doing what I want to do, happy. I don't care about the future. I don't care about eternity. But you know what? God knows there's an eternity coming. And we become, again, bigger livers, bigger thinkers, and more effective and more productive in this world when we begin to see the eternal touch on everything we put our hand to do. Why do I give my tithe? Because it affects someone's eternity. Why do I give my energy? Because of eternity. It's not just self to others. It's not because that's just maybe even momentarily. Maybe momentarily I'm trying to alleviate that person's hurt. But if I'm bringing the word of God and Jesus and the hope of salvation to them, I'm not just alleviating someone's hurt. I can literally change someone's eternity. My eternity can change. Your eternity can change. That which I do today affects future generations, affects into eternity. Are you understanding? We become eternally minded. And then even when we go through hard, difficult times here in this life, we know it's temporal. We know this is not the end of it all. Amen. We know there's eternity coming. So our attitudes and our joy and our encouragement, are you hearing what I'm saying? Can change. Our whole perspective of life and even going through difficult times can change because of eternal ways of thinking. Again, I just want to remind you what I said a second ago. You can't have it both ways. It says, let this mind be in. Let this mind be in. Thank you very much. You can't mix it. You can't be double-minded. You can't hold on to offense and try to add forgiveness. You have to make an exchange. You have to give up your old ways of thinking and lay hold of His way of thinking. Amen. All right, now lastly, as I close, the Bible tells us the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. Ha! Haya! I knew there'd be a way to get a sword into a sermon. Praise God. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. And I looked up, you know, I was just curious, what's the whole thing with the whole double-edged thing? Why is that key? I don't want to leave you today with the mindset that the Bible is just about changing you. The reason the Bible uses the phrase double-edged sword, most people agree, is because a double-edged sword cuts both ways. Do you see that? So yes, it can cut stuff, and it should, off of your life, but I want you to also know the Word of God changes situations. The Word of God changes the enemy's plans and strategies. The Word of God can release and break through all kinds of opposition. So I don't want to ever train you in the power of the change agent of the Word of God. Yes, first and foremost, it's so powerful when you renew your mind and it changes you. But I want you to know that we can send the Word of God out into others, out into our situation, out into our community, out into our family, and it will change situations. The Bible says Jesus sent the Word and it healed people all the way across the city. It didn't just change their mind, it healed their body. And so I want you to see that the Word of God cuts both ways. It will change you personally, but as you utilize in that words in your heart and you speak that word out, it will actually affect great change in your life and situation. The Word affects both ways. Can you give God praise for that? All right, go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? The Word of God reveals and the Word of God renews. I didn't say it that clearly. I want to make sure I said it that clearly. The Word of God reveals. The Word of God renews. Reveals and renews. Whew! Praise God. Amen. You deserve a pine tree right now. You deserve a pine tree. Let's pray. Let's pray this into our hearts. Heavenly Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I bless Life Church. I bless those watching on the internet in Geneseo right now. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Help us to believe that our lives can continue to change. Even if we've seen great things, there's still more. There's still greater works and greater things. I thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that we are not limited in our life to our lower way of thinking. We can embrace your way of thinking. God, right now, we begin to make a choice. Some of us need to exchange some things. We have held on to offense, and it's time to exchange that offense and replace the way we think with forgiveness. Some of us have been very selfish with our life, our time, our talent. And Lord, it's time for us to exchange and let you change us. So Lord, whatever you're doing, Holy Spirit, I pray you make it clear. You never just do it to make us feel bad. Lord, you help us see so that we can change and you give us hope. It's not about feeling bad at all. It's about hope. So Lord, I thank you. And we begin to say yes. So that's you in the church right now. And God's beginning to move on your heart to change some things about what you've been thinking, what you've been saying, how you've been living. Then all I need you to do right now is just say yes to the Spirit of God and what he's telling you to do. Yes, I'll do that, Lord. Yes, I'll do that. I'll forgive. Yes, I'll change that. Yes, I'll receive your thoughts. Yes, I'll do that. Lord, I thank you that there's great days ahead for your body, for your church, and we receive your thoughts and we thank you. We thank you your word also brings great effect of healing and deliverance, freedom in our lives. We pray that we would be a people of the word of God, and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name, amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means everybody needs a Savior. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin or the price of our sin is death, separation from God, hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's all you have to do today is call on the name of the Lord. You're going to have to exchange your thinking. You're going to have to exchange, you think you're the God of your life. You think you've got it all under control. You need to exchange that and say, Lord, I want you to be my God. And today all you have to do is ask and he'll begin that process. He'll save you and then you can continue to learn as that happens, but he will save you immediately. So today, if I can ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. You say, Pastor Kevin, I don't know where I stand with God. If I was to die today, I don't know if I would go to heaven or not. I don't remember a time in my life that I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Or you say, maybe I did, but I walked away and I've not been living for him and I would like to get that right. I am not going to call you to the front of everybody. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat right now. But if that's you this morning and you say, Pastor Kevin, would you pray for me? I want you just to be brave enough to raise your hand where you are, and I'd be honored to pray for you. With anybody today, say, pray for me, Pastor Kevin. I need to get right with God. Is there anyone in the room this morning? Just pop your hand up right where you are, and I'll be happy to pray for you. There's a hand right there in the back. Anybody else? There's another hand in the back over there, a third hand over there, a fourth hand over there. Awesome. Anybody else? Just put your hand up, and we'll be honored to pray with you. Just pop your hand up today. Let's get your heart right with Jesus. I exchange my ways, God. I give you me. There's a fifth and a sixth. Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Pray for me, Pastor Kevin. I just want to get right with God. I don't want to leave this place out of relationship with God. Anybody else today? All right, church, let's all pray together so those individuals don't feel like they're praying by themselves. Let's pray a simple prayer just like this. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know that I've sinned. And I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for that? And let's celebrate those. Amen. Good stuff. Awesome. Can I get my prayer teams to come to the front? We have some wonderful prayer workers that are coming to the front. You can trust them. They're great. They're well-trained. They're here to pray for you if you need healing, if you need a breakthrough in any area, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, they're here to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus today, right when we're dismissing, right behind our cameras, we have a New Beginnings area. Some wonderful volunteers back there. They have Bibles for you, all kinds of resources to help you. While you're leaving, you can stop by those tables and they'll just give you what you need. Anything we can do to help you in your journey with Jesus, we want to help. Let me bless you in a word of prayer and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go. Thank you that as our mind renews, our life begins to change. We pray that hope and future becomes part of who we are and what we think. I thank you for the future that is about to happen because of what's going on in the Word of God in our hearts today. I bless their marriages. I bless their business. I bless their health. I bless their family. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.